And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, April the 8th, 2023. It is season 17, episode 12. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Hey, he remembered his line. That's always good.
On one take, even.
Given how long it's been.
It's been a while.
We're thinking this is your first one of the year, right?
I think it is.
All right. So yeah, first one of the year, which means, like, you know, you played anything in all that time that you've been? We'll get to that. We'll get to that. If anybody wants to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. You can check out In-Game Chat, ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat. You can also find us on Facebook as well. You can email us, everyone, at In-Game Chat. .net streaming right now on the webcam. Well, Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. Search for us there, In-Game Chat. You'll find us and can join us in the chat room live while we broadcast. Or you can just go to our website and click the links there. That'll get you to our Twitch. That'll get you to our Discord. You know, Facebook and Twitter and our Discord that we've got set up as well, so you can talk to us. So plenty of ways for you to interact with the show. And get to chat with us. So yeah, haven't seen Matt since before. We're thinking, right? That's pretty sure.
Pretty sure it was like back in December, I think.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think so. But yeah, so been a bit since you've been here. So what have you played in months?
I just beat the Resident Evil 4 remake.
Remake? Okay, good.
And I'm running through again on the hardcore setting. And
playing it on PC, I take it?
Yeah, PC. Absolutely just loving it. That is a good way to do a remake.
I've heard nothing but so many great things. And it ain't my genre, but I'm considering it because I've just heard too many good things.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Because I also picked up the Dead Space, you know, remaster.
Right,
and
which was also, from what I understand,
good. Yeah. But I'm something about this. I mean, RE4 was one of my favorites in the series, as a lot of people, and this just feels just enough familiar, but yet new, and just absolutely loving it. Played a lot of Hogwarts Legacy.
Okay,
running around that, and
God, when did that come out? Back in February, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Been some time.
I think that's kind of, you know, the gist of it.
Yeah.
Early February. You're right.
Yeah. I did another run through of Jedi Fallen Order, getting ready for later on this month for Jedi Survivor.
Yeah. It's this month that releases?
In the month.
Okay. Right. And it's pretty massive install.
Oh my goodness. It's about Red Dead 2 size.
Bigger, I think, right?
Slightly, but like, I mean, because Red Dead 2 is like about 150 gigs.
Was it? Okay. I was thinking Red Dead was around 120 or something, and this is 155 for Jedi.
So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of.
It's a big, big, massive install.
Yeah.
On that game. So, I wonder if it was just for PC or was it all systems?
I haven't heard it for the other systems, but I don't really keep up with the consoles anymore like I should.
Well, it says Red Dead on PC was 150 gigs of hard drive space needed.
Yeah.
And
I'm sorry, for this one you're going to need Yeah, it's 144 for okay. Jedi Survivor.
So Red Dead's slightly bigger.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, it was 125. The original Call of Duty Modern Warfare, well, I say original, but the more recent Modern Warfare, not the one.
Not the one that first.
From the 360 days? Yeah, the one, was 175.
Do you think that was
gigs?
Call of Duty, was that three?
Modern
Warfare?
Was it's this is Modern Warfare.
Yeah, I was thinking the original.
It's the remake Modern Warfare. Yeah, exactly. What else does it have? Hitman 3 wants 72. That's fine.
Whatever. Yeah, but there's a lot of DLC for that that, you know, adds to that.
Yeah.
Because if you get the Hitman 1 and 2 maps, that adds. And
wasn't Force Unleashed, like, massive? Or at least at that time, wasn't it a massive install?
At the time, it was.
I can't remember what it was, though. Were we, like, shocked at 20 gig install or something like that?
Yeah, at the time, it was. And I tried to play it again, like, a couple years back, and, like, on modern computers, it's not that good. Which is a shame.
See, I pulled up a list of some of the biggest file sizes. Call of Duty, of course, is on there with 235.
Yeah, it was 25 gigs.
Yeah.
For Force Unleashed.
Which nowadays we don't even bat an eyelash at.
No. What year was this, though?
Force Unleashed came out in what, 2008?
2009. Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Okay.
So 2009. So, you know, somewhat over 10 years ago, we were like, 20 gigs? That's ridiculous. Why does anything want that much space on my computer?
Right.
Yeah.
What was that one they said? NASA. You needed a NASA computer to play or something like that.
That was Crysis.
Crysis, wasn't it? Yeah.
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 Twas the Crysis.
Still had, I mean, I have it, but I still haven't played it.
I mean, that's going to be written on my tombstone.
Yeah. Didn't play it.
I know. Own it. Didn't play it.
Yep.
Have it. Never opened it. That sort of thing. So
the plight of modern gaming.
There's a ton. And Lethal Migrant says the Diablo beta was 76 gigs, which seemed absurd for a game where most of it is blocked off. I would agree. 76 gigs for a demo, essentially, is a lot. Yeah. I'm wondering, though, if you just have the entire game installed on your system.
And then it's just
going to unlock afterwards. Which, you know, after the purchase or whatever, that sort of thing, like, it's already there. It doesn't seem like that's much of a beta. Or they're probably testing the online capabilities more than anything else.
One of my favorite, I mean, not to tangent.
Did you try out the Diablo?
I did not.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
Not to tangent on that, but one of my favorite old video games that did that, the original Quake on that came on the CD that I got from the mall when I was working at software, et cetera, and
the
everything
old
like
shareware.
That. They had, like, you know, the full thing, but, you know, you could basically, like, crack it to where, you know, they gave you full access to not only Quake, but every id game up to that point. So Doom 1, Doom 2, Heretic Hexen, Beyond, like, all that was on this disc. Because it was like, you know, call this number and we'll unlock, you know, we'll give you access to these games. But, like, you could, you know, it was all on the disc. And, like, because I remember back in college, you know, finding a way on the internet on how to unlock everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And so from that one game, you know, from the demo disc, I was able to get everything that it did up
right.
to that point.
And you weren't connecting to anything kind of online thing for them to check that stuff.
Yeah.
So it was just, boop, done. I got it.
Thanks, it's mine. I don't have much
money. They had no way to, like, you know, call home and make sure everything was like, is this legit? Nope. It didn't matter. So.
So, yeah, that was one of my favorite back in the day. You know, ways of doing that.
Yeah. I know. I remember those. But I also remember them not being on a disc, but being on a 3.5.
Oh, yeah. Floppy disks?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can go back further to the big one. The big,
Five and a quarter?
Yeah, the big five. Yeah.
The Frisbees.
Well, they were awfully square for a Frisbee, but yeah. So
do it like one.
You could. Hey, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Nice to hear from our old buddy. It's been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a while.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I've been busy.
Been having fun?
You know what? I retired from the military, and I'm enjoying my life.
Well, that's good to hear. So, did you ever like any of the old Diablo series?
Do yeah, what? I played all of them up until, well, I haven't played 4 yet, but I played all the old Diablo games.
Yeah, right. if you're a fan of the series, I played the beta on PlayStation 5, and I have withdrawals from playing it.
Okay. Is it that so good?
Yes, that's really good. And all I did was just mess around and explore the map. I didn't do any of the quest lines, you know, the extended story of the main story. Mm-hmm. And once they unlocked the city, I just explored and just randomly went here and there, and I was having a blast.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. I know, like, 3 was kind of felt different to me than, like, Diablo 1 and 2 did.
Yeah, this one's unique, and the role play in the open world, like kind of wow effect, you know the massive multiplayer game aspects of it. It all seems to work really well. I mean, it all gels, and you know, I was thinking I was going to be a huge fan, you know, not a fan of online only and all, but it really doesn't bother me. I mean, it, you know, you can party up with your members and everything, and you can see people in the open world is. And I think the only time you can get people to go in with the dungeons in there with you is when you have them team up in your own team. But, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, good, man. any other new games that you've been playing or anything else?
Well, y'all were talking about the old PC games, and I recently got one that goes way back in the day. I probably can't play it no more, even if I could find the hardware that supported it. But y'all remember some of the old days way back in there when they used to come on 3.25 floppy disks?
Yeah, yeah. We were talking about that, the shareware stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I actually got one of the old ones, the first Elder Scrolls game, Arena, and I got the original floppy disk version that had the 8 3.5 floppy disks. Mm-hmm. But it's probably most likely, I'm sure the data on those suckers has probably been gone for years, but I got the original one with the floppy disk when it first came out.
I remember Arena.
But then I was like, well, if I ever wanted to play them again, then I saw they had the anniversary edition where they had all 5 on CD, and I found that one for like $30. And so if I ever have a knack and to go back and play them, they updated all the titles to run on, you know, current or somewhat current hardware.
My thing is, like, I don't have any, like, readers on my computer anymore. I have no drives. I don't have any drive, everything's completely just stream or digital, you know, so like I have no way of doing that with some of my, you know, my old, I have like a folder of old games, Windows games, you know, not that they'd even run on current standards, but like I'd have to go through like GOG or something like that and get.
I'm curious as to what I've got, because I know that I've got a bunch of stuff, not necessarily all games. There's probably all kinds of like
random
just files and whatnot.
Just files.
Compilation of files.
Save files and backups of God knows what. Something I may have been writing up or typing or what else? What else could be on there? I mean, essentially, we were using those as like US. Those were storage. Our USB drives.
Yeah,
that was our thumb drives.
Yeah, it was.
So whatever, we would put it on there and just say save it to that. And then oh, here it is. I've got it. That sort of thing. If I need to
backup.
Yeah.
And if push comes to shove, you can still get one a USB type or internal. But why would you get an internal? My goodness, I'm just checking out the price on thing. $90 pre-owned for internal, but an external USB one probably around $15 to $25.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, at work, like some of our equipment still had floppy drives. We just like within the last, I think it was a year, got them updated to CD-ROM drives.
Yeah,
that was like that was a big push to, you know, like have. But these are like old test sets for missiles, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, we'd have to put the floppy disk in. Like everyone's like, what if we lose the floppy disk? Where do you buy those at anymore? It's like you just go to Office Depot.
I remember one of my random facts was about, I don't even know if it was a government agency, but it was something very, very high tech, or at least very, very important, that was still running off of floppy drives. They haven't upgraded to thumb drives, nothing. It was still floppies.
Windows 3.1.
I can't remember what it was, but it was something that, you know what, you really should not be on that stuff anymore.
You can still buy them.
5.25?
Oh, I have no idea.
Yeah, you can still buy them, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
3.5-inch floppy disk. You can still buy them.
I wonder how long media on those last, since they're on the actual, the, you know, the floppy, you know, the magnetic data.
I almost want to like buy some old 3.5.
I've never known them to rot or just fail due to age. I've never known them to do so.
I mean, if you're taking care of them, if they're kept where you need to be kept.
I've kept back in the day, like fail to age, like they were still new and used back then. This has been like, 20 years of not use, so.
Look, I still got some up in my up in my closet, but I haven't had a drive to put it on yet.
Yeah.
So
I kind of want to get like a thing of like a 3.25 disc and like put like an AOL time, AOL sample disc.
Probably got plenty of those.
Sticker on it
yeah.
and like yeah. hand, give it to like mail it to a friend or something like that.
Enjoy. Hey, well, Chris, thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Nice to hear from y'all, and y'all have fun. It's nice to hear from you again, Matt.
Yeah,
y'all
thanks,
have
man.
A good one.
Have a great one, man.
Take care.
Take care.
Y'all have a good, happy Easter as well.
You too, man.
Thank you.
See
you.
All right. Bye.
Yeah.
By the way, no show next weekend. So,
okay.
Yeah. Taking off next weekend. So, no show next week. I meant to mention that at the top of the show and totally forgot to do that. Yeah. So,
dang. Double density, too.
Oh, what? The floppy
disk? I'm still seeing the floppy disk. There's a ton of these
things
available.
All right. Do you remember how much space a floppy disk held?
No.
Do you?
It was some, what, MB?
1.4 megabit.
Yeah.
1.4 megabits. An MP3 is, I don't think there are MP3s smaller than that. Yeah.
I don't think like even like
text files is all you can put on that thing right now.
1.4 megabit.
As long as it's text file, it doesn't have images. Put images.
Even then, like if you can't do a Word document because they bloat that.
Word is too big.
Yeah.
Straight text, nothing else.
Yeah. I still have. I mean, I know that I've got game boxes that still have floppy disks in them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know when I picked up when I visited Cyan Studios in Seattle. Well, Spokane. He was just like giving me tons. They have a vault of all the different versions you want, because Myst has been made on so many different things.
He's like, been ported to everything.
Do you want the 3DO version? Yes, I'll take it. Do you want this version, that version? And so
here it is on a graphing calculator.
Right. It wasn't Myst, though. It was one of their earlier games.
Okay.
Because they had tons of those copies as well, and there were some of those that were coming in on disc. I still have somewhere, either in the house or out in storage, likely not able to use anymore. But what was the program that had your, I think it was just a screensaver with the flying toasters?
Oh, yeah.
Is that After Dark?
After Dark, yeah.
Yeah.
Flying toasters. I had that.
Yep, had that, and I had a Star Wars version of that whole situation, which you had a bunch of different.
It had the Death Star trench run. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you had a bunch of different things. Yeah, so I've still got the boxes for those, and I know they came on floppies. They were not on CDs at that time.
1989.
For what, the After Dark flying toaster thing?
After Dark is a series of computer screensaver software introduced by Berkeley Systems in 1989 for the Apple Macintosh, and in 1991 for Microsoft Windows.
People bought screensavers.
Oh yeah, we sold them at the at EB and
that's
stuff,
right.
Et cetera.
We bought screens. It's like, hey, we got to get the screensaver. Probably for like 35, 40 bucks.
Probably.
I mean, I don't know what it is now, but still
the dogs and the cats, the your virtual doll, your virtual pet.
I know what you're talking
those
about.
Those were big.
Yeah, they were. I'm envious of those people that had those, I think. I don't remember. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
And then wanting it, I think, but I can't remember. But yeah, God, I still have that crap.
Screensavers.
I know, screensavers.
Do they even use screensavers anymore?
I mean, yeah.
Really? I just turn my TV off.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
are you away from your computer long enough for the screensaver to kick in?
No, if I'm away from my computer, I just turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, mine, I don't use screensavers anymore. I do use, it just goes dark.
Dark.
That's all.
Power saves.
Yeah. I don't turn off the PC or anything like that. I use it far too much to turn it off and on like I do. Mm-hmm. So I leave that on. I don't get any. I do use. Oh, what is it on Steam? Wallpaper Engine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I meant to download that. I never got around to it. Yeah.
I had a flying toaster tie back in the day.
Flying toasters are a thing, man.
They were pretty cool.
They were a thing back then. So. All right, RJ, what have you played?
Still doing a little bit more in Grand Theft Auto Online. I've gone from drug selling to gun running now because there's a bonus on that. So working on that as we speak.
Nice. Anybody ever caught just your stuff out of context? Because last week you were selling drugs.
Cocaine.
Now you're selling firearms. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you're gun running.
Yeah. Because there's money in that. Literally.
I know. Yeah. I know.
But yeah, doing a lot of that. Still trying to deal with the griefers in there. Really. Some folks in there just want to watch the world burn and just blow your stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So of course, that, I mean, the game is basically a troll's paradise.
Yeah. It is. But when Red Dead was as well.
Yeah. Rockstar in particular is the common factor between those two. Yeah, they have no...
Well, yeah, they just don't care. They don't moderate.
Yeah, that's true. But if the money's good enough, it's worth the risk. Because when you have more folks in the lobby, the bonus kicks up to 30, 35% extra. So
it's that risk or reward.
It's that risk reward, yeah. So you have to weigh that every time you do it. But it's worth the risk going to do it that way. Played a little bit of Virtua Fighter 5 after watching that the top eight finals in Evo Japan that just wrapped up. That was some really good stuff on good skill on display watching that, and it inspired me to get back into playing again. So I did a little bit of that as well. MLB The Show 23.
Okay.
I finally saw the face scan option.
Did you scan your face?
I haven't done that yet. I gotta.
Are you gonna scan your face?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. Because I've never.
Can we see the results when it's done?
Not if bad.
Can I see the results? I won't throw them up on our Facebook page or anything, but can I see the results?
RJ, it can't look any worse than Scott in
Rainbow Six Vegas.
What they do to you?
It's just what he did to himself.
Yeah. Because it's like, what are we going to do with the? Because it would scan your face and put your face on the player
if you have the Xbox camera.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which we did.
And I can't remember what I did other than putting really big grin on my face.
Yeah, you looked maniacal.
I know. Yeah. And so that's all it had on the entire the character model.
Well, I'll go ahead and send you a picture and everything. But it's basically just going off of the app. So I have to do something.
I'm curious how it looks now because that, again, this is like talking about floppies again. You're going back to the 360 days, early 360 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious as to how well that is advanced.
Yeah.
But in the app, I'll have to do something normally I don't do. Take a selfie. I got to line the camera up and do all types of other stuff and make sure everything's right. It said, have your lighting right. Have everything nice and even. Don't cover your forehead. Don't smile. Keep a neutral expression.
Yeah.
Because I guess they're going to handle that because they do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could take your selfie here.
No, because you have to do it through the app.
I know.
Yeah.
But you got your phone with you. You just go into the app and we'd be able to take that picture. That way you wouldn't have to... We get the lighting right because, I mean, everything's, you know, we got, I mean, I can turn these lights on over here.
Mm-hmm.
Those are studio lights. You're going to be well lit.
Too lit.
But, I mean, you'll be very lit.
Yeah, yeah. But I haven't tried it yet, but I'll do that eventually. I'll give it a shot and we can see the results.
Well, we're here for you if you need us.
Yes.
To get it right.
Okay. Appreciate it.
I mean, just, you know, that way you don't have to hold it. We can get what we need and get it all nice and taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I do have the Wi-Fi signal here, so I can do it.
Exactly.
Okay,
see, it all works.
We'll give it a shot.
We're not going to screw it up. We're going to put something goofy. We're going to take a picture
For all we know, it might be goofy by default.
Yeah.
the way it's set
clearly,
up.
With everything that they're saying, it is very, like...
On PS4, PS5.
It's very specific as far as you... Like, I can't go and take a picture of a dog...
Mm-hmm.
Of the face of a dog, and then send it into them and get it done. It's going to not work.
That would be probably funny, though.
Now I'm curious.
I know.
Yeah, my folks got two.
Can you do like a Muppet?
Dogs. We could probably try like that. Yeah, put Elmo in there, see what happens. Yeah,
is this like create a player type thing?
Yeah,
it's
role for the show.
Okay.
If you want to do that, they have a little quick scan like that. So
you're going to enter in your name, or are you going to pick a name?
Pick a name.
What is your name going
to be? I'll make something up. Because my name will not be said throughout the audio. If your name can be said in the audio, have it. Put your name in there. But if it doesn't, make something up.
Now I want to know what your name's going to be. We got to come up with a name.
It's not going to be something fancy.
Oh God, no! Of course not.
It's just going to be some made up name.
Bartholomew.
That's not in there.
Beauregard.
No. Look, you got to understand. There is a list of first names that are in the audio files.
Oh, okay. So it's
so
they can. Oh, nice.
So they will actually say the name. So if you come with something off the wall from like the 1800s, it's not going to be in there.
What you need to find, and they probably won't let you do it, right, is to find a last name and a first name that are the same. Like James, isn't there. James.
Yeah, James.
James is a last name. James is a first name. James.
It's probably in there.
Yeah.
Probably would be in there like that.
JJ for short.
Yeah. No. No, they don't work that way. Yeah. One of the funny aspects of this thing is, yeah, putting all that imagination you can put in there. The controller is probably why it's one of the most popular aspects of the game at all. But yeah, I'll have to put my name in there and see what I can do with that. Outside of that, let's see. My friend Pedro. I did give that a little bit of a go.
Yeah, is that the banana game?
Blood, Bullets, and Bananas. That's the subtitle for it. Yeah, my friend Pedro. I was just trying to see how that control scheme was going to work. How you were going to
on
have,
console?
On
I guess.
Console, yeah, pretty much.
I played it on console because it was on Game Pass, and that's where I played it.
Yeah. So the only difficult thing really is having to hold that aim the trigger to aim at multiple targets.
I know. Yeah.
And see, that's the only difficult about it, but it wasn't too difficult to the point where it was frustrating. It was just something that I just have to get used to and play it enough.
I think I have it on PC.
Try to get the flow going, because it's all about style points in that game, really.
I'm logging
out the best way to get through it.
Logging into Steam to see if I have the game.
Mm-hmm. Probably do. I mean, it was like $5 on PlayStation Plus a couple weeks ago. That's the reason I picked it up.
Apparently, I do not.
How much is it now for you?
I don't know. I was searching my library. Let me go to the store.
Okay. Yeah.
Make sure you spell Pedro the way it's supposed to be spelled.
Mm-hmm.
You leave a letter out, it sounds weird.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
My friend Pedro. It's $20.
Yes.
$20. Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm gonna click on that. I wish it would open up. It's not opening up for some reason. Anyway, I was going to add it to like my wish list or something, so the next time it goes on sale, I can check it out.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to see if it was deck verified.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a Steam Deck?
I did pick up Steam Deck. Nice. A couple weeks ago, actually, I picked up a Steam Deck. I haven't really mentioned it here because I've done absolutely nothing with it, because it was the bare-bones Steam Deck.
Okay.
And I am waiting for SD card to come in that I can use, because I don't have any SD. Apparently the only SD cards that I have and that I've used are all like 16 gigs and stuff like that, which is, I mean, it's okay.
It's not enough.
But it ain't going to work on your Steam Deck. And it is verified, by the way. My friend Pedro is verified for your Steam Deck. So, yeah, I'm waiting on an SD card, and I'm waiting on a good sale for an SSD, because I'm going to switch that out.
Okay.
Which one did you get?
I got the middle one.
The middle one, right. Back when it was on sale, this is when I picked it up, was when it was on sale this past couple weeks ago, for the fact that it was a percentage off and stuff like that. I was like, ooh, a sale on this one. And I was reading up on forums, and I'd been reading up on forums for a while on this thing, and most people who had them really suggested getting the lowest version, because it is such an easy thing
just to
crack open and replace with whatever you want.
See, I got mine first, so I didn't, before they knew.
Yeah, but you can do that to yours as well. I mean, any of them you can pop open and replace. And so, I'm waiting on a good deal on an SSD to come in so I can do the replacement on that. Then I'm going to go nuts and, you know, dual boot a Windows on there. And so I can get to some Game Pass games, or so that I can actually play Destiny on the thing. I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm also going to, well, you probably did this too. I don't know what you've done with yours. Have you done anything to it, or like, have you added any of the you know, like Decky and any of the retro stuff?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, I plan on doing that as well.
Yeah.
Putting in a lot of the retro things so I can have a big, nice library of really old retro games to play anytime
so
I want to.
So it's a modern version of the that NES Mini.
Basically, yes. But it plays It emulates all kind of games.
Yeah.
They finally got, apparently they were able to get Breath of the Wild up and running.
Oh, wow.
On that.
Was it the Wii version?
Well, originally it was the Wii version.
Yeah.
They've advanced it now to play the Switch version.
Okay.
It ain't stable, but they're working on it.
Yeah.
The Wii version is rock solid.
Mm-hmm.
You can play that one. But the Switch version is very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they've already got to where you can emulate Metroid Prime, the remaster.
Okay.
Or the remake or whatever it was.
Solid
that just released.
Solid stable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Runs perfectly fine. And that's probably because it is a remake of an older game that,
yeah.
You know, kind of like, they didn't redo the engine or anything like that. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's basically running a GameCube game.
Yeah.
With updated graphics. So, yeah, it can emulate up to that. It can do old PlayStation games. It can do, obviously, Genesis games. Just any, the emulation on the thing is amazing.
Does it
from
all?
What they've said.
Yeah.
So,
and what size SD card are you looking to, you want, did you want to put in that thing?
A terabyte at least.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
At least. And that one I can't use. They're lethal. It is good, though. It's got to be a, it's got to be a 2230, not a, what is that, a 2280, I think is what that is, on the size that you sent me there, Lethal. If I'm looking at, I'm trying to look here to see what it says. Is that a 2280? It's not giving me any thing. Anyway, 2230s are what I'm looking for, because they're the size. What are they, laptop drives, I think, something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah. So that's the size that fit inside the Steam Deck. Mm. So that's what I'm looking for.
So $500 entry, huh?
For what?
For a Steam Deck. Low. Well, $500 for...
Shouldn't be that. Should be less than that.
Mm. How much lower than?
It should be, I think, what was the lower tier? 350?
Three something?
Three something.
Yeah, then the middle tier, I think, was 5.
The middle tier was 5, and the upper tier was like 6 or 650, something like that. I mean, I could be wrong. All I know is I had
I think that's what I remember.
All I'm seeing is the 500. I'm not seeing
the 500 gig or the 500 price?
$500. That's what I'm
saying. What's
the size of the hard drive?
Yeah.
64 gig internal storage?
That's the low end.
Yeah.
Where are you looking on this?
I just did a Google look. And I saw all these.
I would look at Steam.
Yeah, because you can only buy them from Steam. Well, okay. I say that you can only buy them new from Steam. You
can
go to eBay or whatever and buy them secondhand. If you want to do it that way, but I had.
Do you have the dock?
No, I don't have the dock yet. Well, again, I haven't done anything. It's just I booted it up to make sure it worked and to make sure everything was fine, and it is. I actually played that.
The desk game,
yeah, whatever that is.
Aperture desk job?
Yeah, exactly. The one that they put out so that you can kind of get acclimated with your deck. That was nice, but that's all I played on.
Okay.
I was able to stream Destiny to it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play it. I logged in, saw my character. I think I went to the tower, and I was like, oh, look, I can do this. But that's all I did. I didn't go any further with it. But that was just streaming. Basically, that was my computer running it.
Yeah.
And it was sending it to my Steam Deck at the house. So that was it for that one. But I, like I said, I haven't done anything with it until I can, and I really don't want to do anything with it until I get the necessary things I want so that I can play around with it. Mm-hmm. A larger SSD and the little SD card. To keep, you know, to make the space bigger and that sort of thing. So I'm just kind of holding out on that. It was a price that I couldn't pass up with the fact that I still had, and I might need to look and see if I can use my credit there as well. I had a ton of credit for
Best Buy,
GameStop.
Oh, GameStop. Oh.
So
I forget that they're still a thing.
Yeah, yeah, they are. Because I turned in a bunch of stuff, like 2 years ago, and I am still working off that.
Yeah,
that's how I got my OLED Switch. That's how I got my VR, my Oculus Quest thing. That's how I got my Steam Deck. I didn't use all my credit for it. I just used it enough to where it only cost me about $50 for the Steam Deck.
That's not bad.
And I was like, all right, that's fine by me. So, and I've still got credit there.
Yeah, you had a good four-figure amount.
Good amount. It was very close to that. Mm-hmm. But it was a good, because they were running, you know, some special where you get so much more back on what you turn in and that sort of thing. And I turned in a bunch of games. I turned in a bunch of things. I turned in my VR. I was like, here, take it all. And have been running, you know, been running with that. So, I kind of talked over their time here. We need to take a break. When we come back, I mean, I would jump into what I played, but I'll go over some of the things because you haven't been here to hear what I've been playing.
Destiny?
Yeah, Destiny, yes, but I jumped into some other games. So
okay, I got to hear about this.
Not this week, but last week I did.
Okay.
So anyway, we'll talk about that. This is music from Aquatico. Anybody play Aquatico?
No.
Anyway, it's the main theme. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. I have to remember this for our October shows. Yeah. This is from a game called Suffer the Night. It's, I think, it's kind of like Five Nights at Freddy's again.
Yeah.
But it's your house.
Yeah, it sounds like one of those Survive the Night just survive, no weapons or nothing.
Right.
Just have to,
it's your house, hidden. And you have to fight off. I say fight off, but sort of
avoid.
A home invasion.
Something spooky about plinky piano. You know,
yeah,
like,
very.
Ping, ping, yeah. Ping, you know?
Well, now we got organ. And, you know, thunder and lightning and stuff.
Yeah. Suffer the Night players take on the role of Stacy Lydon, a painter who specializes in horror illustrations in her isolated woods-bound cabin. Alone in the woods.
Yeah.
In the cabin. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, welcome back to the show. So some of the games I've been playing, yes, Destiny I have.
Okay.
It's, you know, it's just what I do. And I'm not sure what I'm going to do when they're done with the game.
Play something else.
I know. I don't know. I'm curious as to what Bungie's next IP is going to be. I think a lot of people are.
Yeah.
And I think we're getting closer and closer to a point at which they're going to...
Have to come out with something different?
Well, no, they don't have to, but at some point when they're going to have to... I say have to. They're going to eventually reveal or tease or something, talk about what they're working on next.
Yeah, I mean, think about Call of Duty's been getting the same release all this time. Ain't nobody complaining about it, so yeah.
Yeah, but they're definitely not going... like a Destiny 3 or anything like that is very, very likely. They are working on a new IP.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know what that is, what it pertains to. I have no idea. Is it a shooter? We don't know anything about it, but that they are working on one. But, you know, we got next year's expansion, and that's supposed to be it. Not to say that they're not going to have other stuff happen after that releases, but...
I was about to say, keyword, supposed to
be. Yeah. From what I understand, the story that started 10 years ago, back in 2013, 14, whatever it was, is supposed to wrap up there. And, I mean, even if they find a way to continue it, I may just be like, no, that's good. That's a good... Let's wrap it up, you know? I may call it for myself if they don't call it.
Didn't we talk about it? We talked about it earlier, didn't we? Say that it was supposed to wrap up... you said it was supposed to wrap up a while back.
Yeah.
It felt like the expansion was a little bit...
Right.
Rush, yeah.
Originally, it was when they originally revealed their roadmap Mm-hmm. It was Beyond Light, which came out in whatever year, Witch Queen, which came out last year, and then Lightfall. And then they added a third one after that at some point called The Final Shape, and so that's what we're going to get. But anyway.
When did Destiny 2 first come out?
Destiny 2 first came out? 2000...
Like, how long have you been playing this?
Is it 15 or 16? 2016?
August 28th, 2017.
17.
Oh, 17.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been playing... Well, Destiny started, obviously,
yeah,
you know, way back when on the PlayStation 3, 4? I don't remember. It was 2013, I think.
September 9th,
2014.
Destiny released worldwide.
Yeah.
So PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, Xbox One.
Yeah. So that's how long I've been playing it. You know, we took a break. I say we took a break. We stopped playing it a few months after it released. All of us did. And then we picked up when King's Fall happened. Mm-hmm. A lot of us picked it up and started running that raid. We started doing that. So, because you were doing it, James was doing it, Jeremy, RJ, we were all doing we're running that raid, and which they brought that raid back. And then once that season was over with, a few of you dropped off. You stayed, RJ, but and then I stayed with it. And then when it moved to PC, when Destiny 2 came out, I played it on the console. And then when it moved to PC, I thought I would be able to kind of keep both going as much as I could. But man, the PC just controlled it. I mean, it was in so many different ways. Just the fact that the controls, mouse, keyboard for that. Oh, God.
Yeah,
I don't know how to play the game on a controller anymore. I really don't. I've tried whenever there was a special, you know, because I've got my cross save going on,
it
and I've tried.
Feel good.
Oh God, I didn't know what I was doing. Punching when I was trying to throw a grenade or something like that. I don't know. I couldn't remember what did anything. So, but other than that, you know, I finished up. And this is a retread for a lot of you, but not for Matt. I finished up God of War Ragnarok.
See, I need to finish the first one.
Yeah, because it's on PC.
Yes.
So you do. And you really should, because it's very much these...
It's a good story. It's a good game. It
plays
well.
God of War and then God of War Ragnarok is very much like its own thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it begins and it ends with those two games. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's very much a little saga there among two games. Not really like Red Dead Redemption, you know, where you could have played the first, you didn't have to, and you could play the other one. You don't necessarily have to play that other one. They do a nice little backstory, but it's so much more enjoyable.
The original God of Wars up until that point, before they changed it.
Yes and no.
I played those a little bit, and they just feel so different.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I mean, yes and no on that. They do enough to kind of fill you in on both of those as to, because he's trying to run away from his past. Mm-hmm. And so there's no point in you trying to remember it yourself. You know about it. You know, you don't necessarily have to go. And they're going to tell you about it, too. It is. It's he's really rough on the kid. And the kid later on is really rough on the father as well. Not to say that it isn't justified given the way the father treated the kid, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So did that. What else? Tried to play Alan Wake again. The remaster or whatever? It's not as fun.
No. I've done that periodically throughout, you know, the year since it came out. Yeah. And because I remember enjoying it so much, you know, what Remedy did that one, right?
Yeah.
And I love the whole Twin Peaks, you know,
love every aspect of
feel
the
of it.
There's a whole bunch of it that I love.
The characters,
the gameplay. I don't.
No, that's the part that just. So I might just watch a playthrough.
Yeah.
Get, you know, have someone else, you know, do it, because like the story I thought was fascinating. It was really interesting.
What I would like to do is find a cheat, so that I can have a one button press to jump to the next. Like as soon as gameplay starts. Like, let me hit this button here, Shift-3 or something like that. Skips the gameplay segment right to the next cutscene, puts back in gameplay, Shift-3, skips to the next cutscene.
It's more the combat than the, you know, just exploring around was fun.
It is when you're in, like, not when you're in the woods, because that's your combat part, or when you're in anything that it's involving combat. When you're inside buildings and you're inside the apartment or in the town,
that's that I like to just run around, just have it where I can just like insta blink out, the darkness.
I just want to just jump away from that because the gameplay was horrible. Recently, though, and I talked about this on the last episode, was that I played Return of the Obra Dinn.
Okay. Yeah.
I fired it up. I didn't play it. I just fired it up to see what it looked like.
Is that the one done by the same people that did Papers, Please?
Lucas Pope. Yeah. The one guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And I was telling RJ that I loved it because of the... I went into the options to see what the options were, and the screen filter thing, it stays on Macintosh. Or by default, it is set to Macintosh.
Okay.
Which I thought was great, because that's exactly the source that it's calling back to with the way that it is, with the way that it's designed and the way that it's displayed and everything else. It's done in that way that old Macintosh games used to be.
Yeah.
And I can remember, and I was telling Wendy about this, is that I can remember going to my uncle's, and he had, not an Apple, he had a Macintosh.
Mm-hmm.
Very small, little square box.
See, I had the 2C and the 2GS.
Yeah, I don't remember what he had.
Pre-Mac.
But I knew it was a Macintosh.
Yeah.
And he let me play a game on there that was very similar to Obra Dinn in the style of a point and click, mm-hmm. move to the next screen type of thing. Not a 3D movement, just move to the next screen. Text displays. Do you want to swing your sword? Do you want to pick this up? Do you want to do that?
Oh, yeah.
And I remember doing all of those things, and this was fantastic. And there's settings in there. If you go into the screen settings, you can go from a Macintosh, or you can put it on Commodore settings. There's an IBM in there.
EVGA, VGA.
There's all these different settings for I hate to call them retro, but it's old.
Oh, yeah.
It feels older than retro is what I'm saying.
Antique?
Yeah, yeah. So I was really... I
want to say it was a retro filter, basically.
It's not really a filter, though, because there is no non-filter. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those settings. That's it.
Heck, even Papers, Please look like those old Apple games.
It did.
It's pre-8-bit.
But it didn't have what Obra Dinn has, which is basically... lines form a picture.
Yeah.
There is
like a Mystery House.
Yeah. Like there is no, the background is black.
Yeah.
And the lines form
the image. The old like Mystery House raster art, mm-hmm.
None of the lines are filled in. So, I mean, if you see a mm-hmm. ship, it's only because the ship is made up of
lines
that are drawn, not let's make sure the wood is brown. Let's color all mm-hmm. that in. No, it's completely empty. So that's how that worked. And God, my time just goes away. So there's that one, and then Cloudpunk.
Okay.
Was one I fired up, and I'm really enjoying that one. And it's also deck verified, I believe, as well.
Okay.
But I've enjoyed a little bit of that. Basically, it's got a nice little Blade Runner Fifth Element type of cityscape. And you fly a flying car. You're for a delivery service. And it's supposed to get interesting. Not saying that it hasn't gotten interesting. I just haven't played enough of it to tell you whether or not it gets interesting. Because you're making deliveries, and then I came up on my first choice of, do you want to deliver this? Do you want to get rid of this? Mm. You're not supposed to ask questions, but this box is ticking. What do you want to do? Do you want to take it to where it's supposed to go, or do you want to get rid of it, drop it off somewhere else, and just dispose of it? It's your choice. And how is that going to affect the game? I don't know.
Yeah.
So... Mm. Anyway, that's what I played, and we haven't even touched on any kind of news here, so we're going to do that in the next segment here. We're going to come back with more of in-game chat after we hear the theme for a game called Eastward.
Yes.
You know of it.
I've seen videos, and it's on my wish list.
All right, wonderful. Well, here is the main theme for that, and we'll be right back with more of in-game chat after this. We'll be right back. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Crab Champions.
You know what? It sounds like it would be.
It's basically crabs with, like, weapons, and you fight as a crab.
It's based off that, that
meme crab
with
fight?
The crab with the knife.
Basically. This is called Technicolor is the name of the track, if you were curious about it. It keeps going, man.
I like it.
All right. Goodness. Have you, by the way, have you played The Murder of Sonic the Hedgehog?
No.
Okay. It's absolutely free.
Is that a game or is that a...
It's a game. Yeah. It was done as an April Fool's joke.
April Fool's joke, but...
But they released it on Steam, and the thing has gone nuts. It has become the best-rated Sonic game on PC.
It's like... Okay, I think I saw a video, like a trailer for it. And it seems like it's supposed to be like a murder mystery game.
Yeah, it's very...
Ace.
It's very Ace Ventura. No, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
Phoenix. No.
Yeah. Wait.
What's
Phoenix Ace? Ace?
No. God, why is this Ace Attorney?
Ace Attorney. Yeah, Phoenix.
Phoenix Wright.
Phoenix Wright. Thank you. Wow, that took a minute to get there.
Oh God. Wow.
We're showing our age.
If somebody could go back and like put in, you know, game show buzzers every time we get it wrong until we get
no,
it right.
No, no.
Ding, 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 ding. Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. God. Anyway, it seems to be in that kind of style of game. I added it to my library. I haven't played it, but it is absolutely free.
And it's done by Sega.
Yeah. Look at that. Is it overwhelmingly positive or mostly positive? What's
overwhelmingly
the...
Positive.
Overwhelmingly positive. That's always a good sign, by the way, if you're looking through Steam, the store on Steam, and you see overwhelmingly positive.
It says it's playable on the
it
deck.
It is. Oh, yeah. Deck verified? Probably.
Well, it's got the yellow.
That usually... What did I read? That's normally... it's not verified to run flawlessly, but it's likely to run very well, and there may be some text issues, I think, with it, something like that. Like, the text may be hard to read because it doesn't scale to what you're doing, but I don't know. I'm not sure. So, what do we have in our knees? Oh, Asus unveiled the Rogue Ally. Republic of Gamers Ally. That's a handheld PC.
Of course.
In the vein of a Steam Deck, but we have no idea on price. I'm not even sure what the release date is. The firm said on Twitter, it's real, stay tuned for more. Lee said the device's screen size is 7 inches across, displays resolutions at 1080p, has a refresh rate of 120, and has a quiet fan. He also noted that the handheld PC feels lighter when compared to the Steam Deck. The Ally will support a Windows 11 operating system and will be compatible with Xbox Game Pass. How much? The pricing will be, quotation marks, very competitive.
Okay.
That's all we know.
Yeah.
That is it. There is... No idea on when it's going to be released or anything like that, but there is a picture of it. You can see what it looks like. If you just look up the Rogue Ally,
lower than a Steam Deck, guess
what?
Very competitive
for the price. See, I don't know. I don't even know what's in the.
I mean, I get that, but yeah, when you say very competitive.
That's what he said. The whoever that guy is,
it puts my mind slightly lower.
Yeah, but we'll see. We don't even know. Are there going to be different SKUs? Like there are three different Steam Decks. Is there going to be different ones of these? So if they're going to compete, which one are they competing with?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I would guess the higher end tier. I don't know why, but that's where I'm going first. It just feels like this is going to be a high end device.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know. And since we have no release date and we have no price, there's really, and we also have no specs.
Yeah.
We don't know what's in the thing. So there's no, other than the fact that I'm telling you it exists, that's about all the discussion we can have on it.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's in there. So otherwise we'd just be sitting here talking about, Well, if it has this, then this is what it should cost or something. We don't know. We don't know what's in it. Mm-hmm. No clue. So, then we got a handheld from Sony, or at least a new report that
I
talked about.
Those. I still have my Vita.
Yeah, that's what this a decade after the demise of the Vita.
That
it's been 10
system.
Years oh. since the Vita stopped.
Wow.
Handheld gaming is more vibrant than ever. And based on a new report by Insider Gaming, it looks like Sony's going to be trying to get back into the portable gaming market. Sony is seemingly working on a new handheld device, but it will possibly only be for remote gaming with the PS5.
Okay.
It certainly doesn't sound like the Vita 2. Insider Gaming's Tom Henderson reports the new device is codenamed the Q-Lite and won't work offline or like a traditional cloud gaming handheld. Instead, it'll seemingly work exclusively with your existing PS5 to stream games remotely at up to 1080p resolution at 60 frames per second. Early prototypes show the console will look a lot like a PlayStation 5 controller, but with a massive 8-inch LCD touchscreen in the center. The device supports adaptive triggers, haptic feedback, and will include what you would come to expect from a handheld. Volume, speakers, audio input, that sort of thing. This article here from Kotaku says, if that's accurate, it's an extremely odd choice that will certainly be a letdown to longtime fans of Sony's portable gaming devices.
Yeah.
How many fans of Sony portable gaming devices are there? They really haven't lit the world on fire, if you know what I mean. It's not we're not talking DS and Switch and Game Boy and whatever else. We're talking the PSP and the Vita.
Yeah. And the PSP Go.
Well, yeah. Thanks for reminding me of that little thing.
Yeah.
But exactly. So I don't know.
And correct me if I'm wrong. The only thing that stood out about Sony's handhelds was the memory size it took, wasn't it?
The Vita was ridiculous. The Vita was stupid. And I was stupid for paying for it. But I did.
Well, that was the only way you could play that one Uncharted game, for one.
Well, it was the fact that you had to have...
their proprietary...
proprietary memory cards.
Memory cards, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Such a... That's,
yep.
And I bought into it, too. Sony. I totally bought into it.
But that's Sony.
It is. It is. Well, it's Sony. It's a lot of companies.
Yeah.
It's Sony. It's Apple. It's yeah, and it's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
As much as I'm all for not having the government regulate things, I would be more than happy if they would regulate some of these companies. Be like, stop doing this proprietary crap. I want everybody to use this.
Make it easy.
Yes, everyone.
Let's have a standard for a reason.
USB-C, not Lightning. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, memory cards are going to be these SD things, and you're not going to have to make your own. Anybody can use anything. Make it. I wish there was something like that for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But obviously, it's monkey's paw, right? You're going to get that, but you're going to get it in such the worst way.
Yeah.
If they were able to do that, because it would just ruin everything else, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. What else do we have in our news? Let's see.
Have you seen the videos of Cal Kestis in, like how you could change his character appearance?
You got to tell us what that is first.
In Survivor.
Okay, good.
Cal Kestis the Jedi.
I don't know Cal Kestis, and I don't know what you're talking about.
No, like I have not played
that first one.
Oh, you didn't play the first one?
I have not. Yeah,
it's really good.
I know.
Did you play it, RJ?
No.
Really? I figure you would have.
Hmm.
Okay. But mm-hmm. yeah, like, you know, I've seen people like giving him mullets because you could customize a character appearance. Like, he has like a beard and a mullet and everything running around. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's going to be interesting.
Well, I mean, varied.
I'm glad your Jedi appearances get you so giddy.
Well, a well rounded character creation system, no matter what the game, is always a plus. So
it is.
It's always interesting. So how far do they go, really?
I mean, it's limited with this because, you know, he is a defined character as opposed to creating. Like with the Hogwarts Legacy, you could create your own,
mm-hmm.
you know, what you want to look like.
From scratch.
Whereas this is modeled after an actual actor.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, kind of like
so imagine you can do facial hair.
Yeah,
facial hair. You really can't change the shape of the face or anything like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like how Starkiller in Force Unleashed was Sam Witwer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... you know, imagine like, yeah, I could give him a buzz cut, or I could give him, you know, a ponytail, or, but you can't really change his facial appearance.
Right.
It's not like that kind of model, you know, but like, you know, he does look older and, you know, a little, you know, give him a little stubble and.
So slight variations and whatnot.
Yeah.
Which I did it well enough to make you think what could have been if you could have started from scratch on that thing, but wouldn't be good for the story anyway. So, yeah.
But yeah, it is a very, I mean, it, like I said, it is a specific actor that they're going for the look of.
Right.
Which is why you really can't change that, but you can
can't do it.
You can do some other things with that hair and that sort of thing, but. Let's see. Fallout fans are puzzling over changes made to Fallout 4's backend on Steam after an update on April 4th. Added a branch labeled New Vegas 2.
Huh?
Uh-huh. It's the kind of change a developer might make in advance of new content being added or beta tests beginning, but the way it was named had made players wonder if it could mean Bethesda is planning a sequel to Obsidian's Fallout New Vegas or a remastered version in Fallout 4's engine. A day later, Bethesda deleted the branch.
Of course.
Perhaps to quell all that speculation, which it hasn't succeeded in doing because we're still here. Yeah. Speculating. The most likely answer, they say, is that it's connected to the Fallout 4 next-gen update Bethesda announced will be coming in 2023 and said will include performance mode features for high frame rates, quality features for 4K, bug fixes, and even bonus Creation Club content. So there's possibility there. Calling it New Vegas 2 is a little bit of a... I mean, you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
Like, putting
getting
that in
hope,
there.
Getting hopes up.
You know what you're doing by giving it that name and putting it in there. Somebody's going to... Companies that can't understand that people are going to see these things, you know, people are going to... They're going to data mine your stuff.
Yeah.
Always. If they're able to do it, they're going to do it. And anything you have in there is going to be in there. So... Or is going to be revealed. So, you know, understand when you put stuff like that in...
It'll get out.
They're going to find it. Mm-hmm. They really, really are. They have to know this, and I, you know.
Free publicity.
Yeah. Resident Evil 4, the remake, surpassed 4 million copies in 2 weeks.
Okay.
The entire Resident Evil series currently sits at around 135 million units sold since the first installment debuted. That's as of December 31st of last year. Now, more than 27 years later, continuous support from the passionate fan base across the globe makes it Capcom's flagship game, said the website. Or press release, I guess. So, yeah. 4 million in 2 weeks. That's a pretty big milestone for a remake like that. God, somebody, they did a comparison, and I can't remember what it was, but it was a comparison to some other game where it took... It may have been the... I don't think it was the original... It was some other game that they compared it to, saying that it took them this long to get here, but it took Resident Evil 4 this long to get here. And I can't remember. That maybe it was Dead Space remake.
Maybe.
Might have been the Dead Space remake. I'm not sure.
I keep thinking about if anyone did compare it to the original or something like that in the series, think about the way games are bought now anyway.
Yeah.
Downloading all that stuff. So downloading would have been a major factor in that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's popular. People love it. I mean, apparently... For me, I think we talked about it before, but I just didn't get the sense of the impact 4 had on a lot of fans. I guess the impact for me was basically, okay, you went away from tank controls to traditional controls. That's the biggest
over
jump
the
to
shoulder.
Me. Yeah, that's the
non-pre-rendered backgrounds.
Yeah, I mean, still a fun game. Yeah,
yeah.
But I just didn't get the sense of the why it was had such a big impact on so many folks. Yeah.
I don't know. I was watching. So whenever I exercise, I have my iPad up there and I watch videos. And
right.
If it's not new builds in Destiny or you know, whatever else I may be looking at there, I'm trying to think. Well, I've been watching Bad Batch. Been going through and
good
watching
show.
That. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, if it's nothing like that, I will see reviews pop up on recent games, and I'm like, oh, let's see what this is, and there's just a lot of love for that game in particular.
Yeah,
from all walks of life. I'm not talking about Resident Evil fans, just Resident Evil fans. I'm just talking about video game fans in general. Apparently, give that thing a lot of love, and I don't necessarily know if it was from the original GameCube version, or maybe the one that they put out, was it back in 2000 and, was it five?
Five, yeah.
Yeah, was it five they did a re-release on PC?
Yeah.
It says Resident Evil 4 initial release date was January 11th of 2005.
Yeah, but then they did, then they brought it to PC, I thought.
They did?
Not too long ago.
Yeah, and it was okay.
2015, maybe? I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, there's just some, I mean, you know, I was reading reviews,
mm-hmm.
and I think GameSpot called it like one of the best games ever made, or one of the most important games ever made. I can't remember what they said.
I think it was important. I think,
yeah.
I think that's where this whole the whole thing got to me, was the most important game. That was something like, how?
Yeah,
that,
I know.
That's what got to me. How is it the most important game ever made? And how'd you get to that? How'd you get to that conclusion? Really?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And so I'm really kind of curious to dip my toe in the waters there and check it out.
I wish, like, if they're going to continue on with this whole
remake of the series.
Because, yeah. I mean, they've remade one, granted, that was on the GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and that's still a really good, you know, re-envisioning.
Maybe want to think about getting a GameCube, actually.
Yeah.
That first
they,
one. Yeah.
They did two and three. You know, recently.
Two was really good. Three was like meh because it was too short.
Yeah, and they cut
stuff
out.
Three was too short.
I mean, the game, the original three was too short to begin with, and yeah. they made this even shorter.
But still, yeah.
But now with four, if they're going to continue on to do a remake, I wish they would do Code Veronica.
Yes.
Likely they will. I would if this is the continuation they're going, and maybe the continuation is the main series and not the offshoot type stuff. Although I think it would be hard for them to ignore Code Veronica in that case.
I would prefer Code Veronica as opposed to five because.
Yeah, because of five.
Five would be a logical step before go to five, but Code Veronica is a pretty
they could stop at five. Title. I don't think six needs a remake. Six was horrible from what I understand.
Even though five,
then again, maybe,
if they remake it,
they can make it like
that's what I was gonna say. Actually, I should take that back because six was so bad that they probably can't wait to get to that to remake it.
Yeah.
To
Let's
be like
make
okay.
it to be a good game.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I would want a remake of five.
Is it too soon?
I don't know.
It didn't end great.
No.
It was kind of dumb. But then again, it's Resident Evil. I understand that.
Boulder punching? Yeah.
It was so dumb. James and I did co-op through that whole thing. So, yeah.
I still remember your grenade, your inventory management was not good in that, in 5.
I don't remember it.
You used, mutated creature, you used every bit of ammo you had, and the last thing you used should have been the first thing you used because it would have saved all your ammo.
Mm.
Use a light grenade
on a
Las Plagas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that should have been the first thing you used, but you used all your incendiaries, all your bullets, all your shotgun shells. You used, I think you and James used all the ammo you had, and the last thing you used was the light grenade.
Hmm.
And
yeah.
You thought the light
flash
grenade
should
the
be
flash
the first.
Grenade,
yeah, yeah. They're what
you used
a
flash
Las
grenade,
Plagas.
You thought. The damage was to the point where we must have wore it down so much that it killed it with the flash grenade. No.
No, that was the first thing.
No, the first thing. Yeah. Should have been
the flash
grenade.
Don't remember that. Back then, I wish we were streaming that, but back then,
yeah.
We weren't streaming things. So,
I remember it was pretty frustrating for you after that point because, like I said, you didn't have any ammo left between the both of y'all.
Yeah, and then we tried to play 6 as a co-op thing, and it did not work out.
Yeah. I tried to play 6 just in general, it didn't work out.
It was really bad.
Yeah.
So... by the way, Resident Evil 4 Remake got microtransactions.
Yep, I saw that.
Yeah. Did it download? I mean, is it available to you, or have you checked that out since it's been implemented?
I mean, I see it on the Steam store site.
Okay, yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
And it's microtransaction DLC that will let you pay to upgrade your guns.
Upgrade your guns, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is nothing new, because it was
in is it not? Okay, I didn't
no.
know
no,
this.
Like, 2 and no. 3 had the, you know, if you pay $5, here's every...
The unlock. Remake of 2 and 3 or originally?
Remake, the remake of 2 and 3. 3.
Okay,
yeah,
I didn't know
had
that.
That in there.
Yeah, if you pay $5, here's unlocking everything.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So I will say new. They did have... The whole reason why I noticed that is because I saw the mercenaries they could download.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever done well in that. The time-based run and gun type thing. Because it was run and gun. And yeah. I was trying to take your time and methodically survive through the thing. Now you got to make a mad dash to the end, really.
And keep on killing to keep your time.
Keep your time going. Take out enemies quick as you can.
And before we go to break here, just a really quick thing was that we got a release date for the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. Mm-hmm. Which I hadn't even, I mean, I knew they were doing it, but I had heard no updates.
I thought they did that with Nicolas Cage already.
Wily's Wonderland or Willy's Wonderland, whatever yeah. It was. Might as well have been. Exactly. But let's see. What is the date here? October 27th of this year.
Okay.
Perfect.
Is Five Nights at Freddy's.
Just in time for Halloween.
Yep. Yep. So there you go. All right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, more here, we're going to talk about... We're talking about emulation and how Microsoft has kind of cracked down on that with their Xbox Series X and S. We'll talk more about the Sony-Microsoft battle over Activision and independent games, the ID at Xbox Showcase that took place last week. We'll tell you about some of the stuff that was revealed there or that was at least shown. Indies are great. They're fantastic. Some of them are fantastic. Some of them are total duds, but... that's the fun of indie stuff. You get some really creative ideas, some really amazing games. That's all coming up next. Music here from a game that came out this week. I'm highly interested in it. It's a game called Dredge.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a fishing game.
I've seen videos of it, yeah.
With a little bit of cosmic horror involved.
Horror.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm very, very curious about it. Anyway, this is the music from Dredge. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from a game called Imagine Earth. It's called Electric Void, is the name of this track.
Haven't seen the new John Wick yet.
Man, it's really good. It's very, very good. Very long.
Oh, yeah.
It's about 2 hours and 40 minutes.
But you don't sense them. Sense that amount of time passing, though.
Oh, God. I need to see it again, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, it's just great. It's fantastic.
I've seen the first three, just because that was in the chat.
Yep. Yeah, this is good music. I don't remember what kind of game this is. I felt like it was like a city builder or something. Not necessarily city builder, but.
World
on
builder,
a bigger scale, maybe. Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure. There is a game out now called Terra Nil, and okay. I played the demo for that going probably back 6 or 7 months ago. Maybe last summer I played that as a demo. and it was fun. It's kind of a city builder, but not. It's like a reverse city builder, basically.
City Destroyer?
Well, in a sense, like the apocalypse has happened, you know?
Yeah.
The land's in really bad shape, and so you go through and you have a device that will clean up the water near whatever little section that you're at. So it cleans the water. And then you put in electricity and all this other stuff, and that will then like seed the ground for things to grow again, for life to come back. So basically that's what you do. And then you pick up all your stuff and let life thrive and go do the next section.
For a while, this ambient music here is kind of reminding me of Tetris Effect.
Hmm.
I don't know if you ever played that one.
I've got it. Have it. Again, Tombstone.
Fair enough.
I have it. I've never played it.
I'm digging it.
I don't know. Lethal Migraine says the same guy directing John Wick 5. I don't know. He's said he's open to doing it. He said he's open to directing 5, even though...
I think that's what Cameron said. The only way he'd come back for 5 is if the same director...
Yeah, no, I would agree with him that Chad Stahelski, I think is his name, is the guy. Him and who is the other one? Oh man, there's two or three of them now.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that did John Wick was one of them. And then there's another one that I'm completely drawing a blank on.
I mean, the director of which one?
Well, see, I can't even think of the movie now. And I'm trying to remember because it was just recently when I was talking about it, I thought, because I was telling Wendy about it. It was, anyway, both of those guys that I'm trying to think of, the John Wick guy and somebody else, they were stunt performers before they became directors.
Yeah.
And so.
Chad Stahelski.
Yeah.
American stuntman and film director.
Exactly. Yeah. So having a stuntman do the film work or to the directing, you get some fantastic looking, you know, stunt scenes and stuff like that. It's just really, really good. Yeah, I'm just remembering. It makes me wish John Wick was on video already or whatever. It was on home release so I could see it again and not go back to the theater. But
Sam Hargrave?
What did he direct? That sounds familiar.
The stunt coordinator and performer has been involved with some of Hollywood's biggest blockbusters for over 15 years, most recently sharing Avengers Endgame, Netflix Extraction.
Extraction, that's what it was. That's mm-hmm. what I was trying to remember.
Yeah.
Extraction, because we got the trailer for Extraction 2,
mm-hmm.
Which is basically is a great little teaser for the second one that gives you the outcome of the first one, which is not really a spoiler. I guess it kind of is, but...
I wonder if they get extracted.
The whole teaser for Extraction 2 is almost this entire one-take fight scene that they go through and show. It's done really, really well.
Hmm.
There's a great one-er in John Wick, and I'm not going to spoil it for you, even though you've probably already been spoiled about the video game connection.
No.
I know that I spoiled it for him, and I won't spoil it for you.
Well, look, I haven't seen any of the John Wicks. I'll just wait till the box set comes
I've seen the first three. All I know about 4 is it's out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I told him about it. And
reminded of a certain game that I played.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so there's a one-er there for that. And then in Extraction, the first one, which is on Netflix. If you've got Netflix, yeah, it's there for you to watch. Yeah. There's some really good one-take scenes there where the camera goes from second story down to the first story, then into a car, never breaking, cutting, or anything. And there's behind the scenes on how they got all that stuff done. It's really, really cool.
It's kind of like how they did Hong Kong films back in the
day. Yeah, yeah. But you didn't have one. You didn't have a lot of like. I mean, you had one-ers, but not. Camera was pretty much set,
yes.
And the two guys fought.
Yes.
You know, there weren't a lot of cuts in between fights, which is great because you get...
And then you can actually see hit action.
You get a better reaction. Story. You get a better... Yes. The fight is told better without breaks. So yeah, but to be able to move the camera around, so you're going from set piece to set piece to air shot to low shot to drone shot to whatever else, it's just really, really good. I could talk about this stuff all day.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start doing a movie one after this one. Maybe we'll do in-game chat, and then we'll do...
Reel to reel.
Yeah, yeah, something else. For 2 hours afterwards, we just talk movies.
All right, let's do it.
I'd not be bad, actually. I could do that. Yeah, so back to the gaming stuff.
Yeah.
Should we go to IDX? I didn't watch this. They had a showcase, and I did not watch any of it. But the Vampire Survivors DLC they talked about.
Yeah, new
about.
DLC is coming out.
Yeah.
Where's it out? I think it's coming out.
It's coming out. It's not out yet.
It's supposed to be like fantasy based.
Yes, it is.
I'll get it.
The Last Case of Benedict Fox, which is another really cool thing that I'm looking for, or looking forward to. Turn based RPG with an 80s vibe is what is being described for Cassette Beasts.
Okay.
Yeah. Omega Strikers, which is a soccer air hockey mashup. The Carters 2 turbocharged gameplay trailer showcases wild and chaotic races. Yeah, it looks like a kart racer. Coffee Talk Episode 2. Homestead Arcana is a farming witch simulator. Interesting. Closer the Distance explores how a community deals and moves on after a tragedy. Tells the story of Angela, a young girl from a town called Yesterby, who died in a car accident. Players become her after she passes, and using her ethereal ability to influence the townspeople she once knew, Angela's choices will ultimately determine the fate of Yesterby.
Okay.
The Explorator is a semi-open fantasy first-person shooter with a striking art style. Interesting. Lil Guardsman. Lul. I always hate saying it. Lul. Whoa. Lil Guardsman will have you deciding the fate over 100 characters trying to enter a kingdom. It puts you in the shoes of a 12-year-old who must step up and take on their dad's job of working at a guard shack in a kingdom that decides who gets to pass through, who goes to jail, and who gets killed right there on the spot. There are over 100 characters who will try to enter the gates, and it's up to you to decide their fate. Oh, and you can rewind time to fix things if they go awkward, but be careful not to do any irreversible damage. That's coming out later this year. Cabaret, spelled with a K, by the way, is a dark fantasy folklore adventure game with monsters from Southeast Asian myths.
Okay.
So that's what was shown off. I don't have any more from that. But all of those kind of, well, not all of them. Last Case of Benedict Fox is on my wish list. Definitely. I'm kind of interested in Little Guardsman.
What's the Last Case of Benedict Fox about?
That is, it's a Metroidvania.
Okay.
That takes place in Boston in 1925 and has players exploring a terrifying mansion that is filled with monsters.
Okay.
It's releasing April 27th. So it's very soon.
Yes.
So that's what we got from the ID at Xbox thing. Okay, over to, speaking of Xbox, they have cracked down on game emulation. Originally, the Xbox Series S, not the X, but the Series S, was like the thing to do for emulating. But on April 6th, they shut that down. They're calling on the console maker to reverse course and make legal emulation easy again, even if it means potentially antagonizing competitors like Sony and Nintendo. They were unprecedented among consoles in letting users easily emulate older games. When it launched in 2020, new owners discovered the ability to install emulators that could play classic PS2 and GameCube games. That's still possible with paid access to the console's developer mode, but Microsoft has now locked down that feature in standard retail mode, where users were previously able to download and run emulators for dozens of old consoles. They're now greeted with an error code telling them such programs violate Microsoft Store policy.
Lame.
Xbox Series X and S was like the Steam Deck for emulation, said one person about it. So, yeah. Interesting. But you apparently you can still do it. Yeah.
if you have the developer.
Right, and you can pay for that. And it's a one-time, it's not a monthly fee, it's a one-time fee to get in, to get to the developer access to, or developer mode on the console. And I don't know how much it costs for developer mode. That's interesting. I'd have to look that up. And we might as well cover once again Sony and Microsoft and going butting heads over Activision. Sony's going to keep trying, I know, but honestly, this thing is probably going to go through. Sony has issued a fresh response to the ongoing drama surrounding Microsoft's Activision Blizzard acquisition. They've criticized the UK regulator currently probing the deal for recently softening its stance. Sony's statement also highlights some comments recently by the creative director, I think it's at Arcane, the Redfall game. Last month, the UK's Competition and Markets Authority softened its stance on a key area of its concern over the deal passing, as it concluded that Microsoft owning Call of Duty would not result in a substantial lessening of competition in the console market. Mm-hmm. Sony's response to this decision, published last week here, is unsurprisingly critical of this latest development, which it slams as surprising, unprecedented, and irrational. The response also leaps upon last month's drama, which erupted from comments made by the creative director Harvey Smith, who revealed that Microsoft had canned the plans for a PlayStation 5 version of their upcoming game Redfall, which looks like crap, by the way. I don't say it looks like crap. It does not look fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's fun to be had somewhere for some people to play it, but it just, it's not scratching any itches for me.
Yeah.
These comments, Sony has now said, were an indication of how Microsoft could also treat Call of Duty. So they're basically pointing at that. Look at what they did here. They're going to do this with Call of Duty 2. You have to stop them from buying it. And that's all they've got on it, is like, this is what they're going to do to Call of Duty. They, as far as I know, they didn't raise any red flags when Bethesda was getting bought.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just that, I mean, it's not. It's Call of Duty.
Money.
This is... When he says I do this too much, giving benefit of the doubt, and I keep doing that, and I'm doing it here, thinking that when Microsoft was buying up studios, Sony was like, all right, well, that sucks. That studio's gone. Okay, that's gone. All right, that's fine. God, they bought Bethesda? Man. Oh, well, at least there's Activision. And then Call of Duty was the only thing. That was just a big deal for them.
Yeah,
Call of Duty.
You said it before, man. Call of Duty is the big money maker, and they don't want to lose access to it. Which if Microsoft gets hold of Activision, which is well within their right to do, what do you think is going to happen? Well, like I said last week, Sony, you've got the resources to make your own competitor to it, so get cracking. It's theirs now, or it will be in the future.
Yeah,
your complaining isn't going to help. Isn't going to change matters much, and you're looking pretty bad doing so, because everybody, their mama knows what this is about.
Just last week, two days before the addendum was published, on March 22nd, video game trade publication IGN published fresh evidence in the form of an interview with Redfall's creative director that provides additional insight into Microsoft's strategy. That's what Sony wrote. Like Call of Duty, Redfall is a first-person shooter game that features both single-player and cooperative multiplayer modes. In his interview with IGN, he explained that Redfall was originally planned to release on all platforms, including PlayStation, but once Microsoft acquired Bethesda, there was a huge sea change. Microsoft said, no PlayStation 5. Now we're going to do Game Pass, Xbox, and PC. This is all what Sony wrote. Smith's comments revealed compelling evidence of Microsoft's ability and incentives to foreclose rivals to acquired games, rather together with its likely conduct post-transaction with respect to Call of Duty. Microsoft issued a response to these comments, was that it had not pulled any games from PlayStation, and that it had, in fact, expanded our footprint of games after releasing PS5 exclusives Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo on Xbox. So their side... okay, Microsoft, sure. But those deals were already in place.
Yeah.
Like, you can cite that, but the fact that Deathloop and Ghostwire already had contracts in place to be exclusive to Sony... I don't know. I can somewhat see their point, saying that, look, if there's a contract in place, we'll adhere to it. Yeah. We'll honor those.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Deathloop was pulled from Sony shelves. It's not like they took, you know, recalled the PlayStation 5 versions after it was available on Xbox. Or same for Ghostwire Tokyo. So, right. That's what Lethal Migraine says. They didn't have to honor those contracts, so it's a fair argument. That's what I was getting at, is like, yeah, they didn't have to. But they did, and I guess that's what they're saying, is like, this was already in place. But, okay. I mean, so I guess Sony needs to work with Activision to get a contract in place for Call of Duty, if that's what they want. I mean, I guess they could say that. That could be a rebuttal.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you want this, sign a contract with Activision now, I guess. I don't know. I don't know how business works. So I don't know if, for whatever reason, during a time when a company is about to be bought, that they can't make
new contracts
with companies, I guess. I don't know how any of that works.
I'm not sure.
It's all well above my pay grade. So anyway, that's going to continue at least until sometime this month when it is a done deal. April 26th is when this whole thing is going to, the final decision will be made.
Yeah.
April the 26th. Just counting it down. Then we won't have to talk about it anymore.
Until next time.
I mean, I say that we won't have to talk about it anymore. Sony will continue to talk about probably, I don't know.
Look, they're going to do the same thing they're always done, trying to cause mess to get it, not let the deal go through.
Mm-hmm.
But look, business, simple, how it works. If we get money and we screw the other guy over, have at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. And having Call of Duty exclusively to us, that's going to make us big money.
It is.
That's Sony, that Sony will not have. Therefore, good for us.
Yeah. Have any of you, well, I know you haven't, RJ, but I'll ask Matt. Did you ever try that NVIDIA streaming service? Not the Shield, but whatever the thing is now, where you can play through your browser.
I remember,
what's it called?
I thought there was like a Microsoft. Wait, didn't they do that with, are you talking about the one that they did that with this Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
I think it's NVIDIA what's it called? It's not GeForce Experience. Oh, God.
No. The only time I played a game over my browser streaming it was the Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And that may have been like when they were doing that with Stadia or whatever.
Yeah, Stadia. GeForce Now is what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's cloud gaming. But like, so let's say I've only got 5 minutes here. Mm-hmm. But if I have a game like Control,
okay,
we'll put that out there, or Crysis, you know? Let's say I have a game like Crysis. I bought the game. I own it. Well, through GeForce Now, I can play a streamed version of that over my browser that uses better tech than what I have. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I can stream the 480 version. The graphics card that's like $1,000, I can stream that version to my browser and play it in that setting on my PC with GeForce Now. I don't have to buy the game. I just have to subscribe to their service and I can play that game because I already own it. So in other words,
How much is the service?
I don't know, but I recently upgraded my internet at the house. I got fiber now.
Same here?
Yeah, and it comes with 6 months of this GeForce Now thing.
Oh, does it?
Did you go? You went AT&T, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When did you do that? How recent?
This month.
That might have still been available, dude.
I'm not sure.
You should check.
Yeah.
Because I did it back in February, and that was available. So Lethal Migraine says he has a coworker who seems to like it.
Interesting.
I'm kind of interested in it. I'm getting 6 months of it for free, so I'm actually kind of curious about it.
But you haven't tried it yet.
I haven't. The deal expires in May, so I'm going to wait as close as I can to the end of when that expires to redeem so that I'll get the most 6 months of it that I can. So, yeah. Anyway, I was just curious as to who's used it, how it is, what it's like.
I'm curious how
much it is. I had the website a minute ago, but I've gotten rid of it. Sorry. I don't remember what the pricing was. But anyway, I want to thank everybody who joined us. Ooh, real quick, the chat room roll call here. This is Unreal Lol, Roxy, Mara Romano, Lethal Migraine, Kata, Drapsnat, Commander Root, Bama Brian, Alistra, O1 Ella, and then us were in there. So anyway, thank you all for joining us. Remember, we are off next week. We'll be back week after next on the 22nd for another new show. So, Matt, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Good seeing you, too.
Anytime you want to, man, come on by. Pop in Discord anytime you want to.
Yeah.
We got that way to do that now, so you don't even have to come in if you don't want. But yeah, thanks for everybody calling in. Chris for calling in twice there. I ran into listeners Holly and Blake when I was dropping some stuff off today, and they said they listen all the time, so hi to you.
Hey, Holly, Blake.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway.
I know I have co-workers at the base that, you know, they say that they listen in to, you know, see if I'm going to be on, and so...
Well, you should be on more often, then.
I should.
Yeah, you should. You're retired now. You should be on more often. Here's music from a game called Core Keeper. It's Gorm's theme, I think, is the name of this thing. So, yeah, Core Keeper. Anyway, have a good week, good 2 weeks, and we'll see you then. Goodbye. I'll be streaming the raid tonight, by the way. Whatever.